Friends in Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, that great gift of God to us at Christmas and here in His temple. Amen. The words I would like to consider with you this morning are actually one of the Old Testament readings for the celebration of Christmas, not one of those for today. I kind of changed my mind halfway through what I was going to talk about, so this may not necessarily fit exactly the best with the readings for today, but from this 52nd chapter of Isaiah, I want to continue speaking about the theme of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ as we did throughout the season of Advent. And we read these words from the prophet Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who publishes peace and brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Go out from her midst, the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Merry Christmas once again to all of you. If there is one gift of God, one fruit of the Holy Spirit that we associate with the celebration of Christmas, I suppose it would have to be joy. Joy at church, here as we break forth into songs of joy together, having been comforted by the great good tidings of joy of Jesus Christ born to us as our Savior, and also joy in our homes, although perhaps imperfect joy because of the brokenness of the world that we live in. Perhaps sorrow was mixed and mingled with your joy as you missed somebody you loved, or stressed relationships, that kind of thing. But hopefully joy in your home nonetheless, joy in the giving and the receiving of gifts, joy in all of the good stuff, the meats, the pies, the eggnog, the cookies, the chocolate, joy in family and in hearth and in home, in feasting together, in love. At Christmas time, it seems that joy is just calling all around us. Our text, this text, one of the Christmas texts, and it was so much a part of the intro today, is full of many joys. And the first one is this prophecy in verse 7 that says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who publish peace, and who bring news of happiness, who publish Yeshua, who say to God, Zion, your God reigns. Gasp of joy! Yeshua is the Hebrew word for salvation, and it also just happens to be the name that God said Mary should give to her little baby boy when he was born. And here it is in this Old Testament reading, that word Yeshua. God has published Yeshua to us. He has published salvation to us. To discover Jesus Christ so clearly in the prophecies of the Old Testament is one of the great joys of Christmas. God has kept His ancient promises to us. And then there is this one mentioned in verse 8. It says, your watchmen lift up their voices together and they sing for joy. And the text says that the reason they sing for joy is because with their own eyes they have seen the Lord return to Zion. God is back with His people again. They sing of joy because God has reconciled us to Himself through Christ. And this is no less true of us today. And that's why we sing the great canticles of the church, the Benedictus, the Magnificat, the Gloria, the Sanctus, the Agnus Dei, the Nunc Dimittis, because Zechariah and Mary and the angels and Isaiah and John the Baptist and Simeon all saw with their own eyes the Lord's coming to Zion. the Lord's coming to His people. And that, in turn, elicited songs of joy from those people and from us. It's one of the great joys of Christmas to sing of our Lord Jesus Christ and His coming. Joy to the world! The Lord has come. And then there is this in verse 9. Break forth together into singing, you desolate waste places of Jerusalem, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted His people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. While the children of Israel were in exile in Babylon, the city of Jerusalem lay in ruins. And to that pile of rubble that was once this great city of God, to that pile of ruins, God promises comfort and joy and salvation and restoration. They will be restored again when He comes. And that song of joy is not just for an ancient ruined city and its people, but it's for you. It's for your ruins, for your rubble. The sainted Professor Marquardt, who was one of my favorite professors at the seminary, would illustrate our need for salvation with a broken windshield in an auto salvage yard. He would say to us, it's still a windshield, but it is shattered, and it's ruined, and it's broken, and it's unable to perform that function for which it was designed. Just like us. Just like our society, just like our lives, just like our bodies, broken and shattered in this fallen world. But how can we be salvaged if we don't even believe that we've been ruined? Many people think that God's great story of salvage is for the really bad people. You know, the Pontius Pilates and the King Herods and the Judas Iscariots and the Jezebels among us. I don't need salvaging. I'm not that broken. And then the reason anyone would say that about themselves, that I don't need God's salvaging, is because they have despised God's Word. Because the Word so clearly says we have all been ruined by sin. There are no exceptions. And only ruined sinners, whose hearts are broken and contrite before God, can be salvaged. Blessed are those who mourn, Jesus says. They will be comforted. Oh, it's God's gift to us. God loves to give gifts, especially the gifts that leave us gasping for joy. He has fixed the ruins of our lives. He has restored our rubble. He has redeemed Jerusalem and has reconciled us to God through His Son. But it's how He did it that really leaves us gasping for joy today. The Lord will lay bare His holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. Now, the first readers of that prophecy thought of that as a figure of speech. God will lay bare His holy arms. Well, of course, God doesn't literally have arms. God is spirit, right? He doesn't have actual arms. Until Christmas, that is. And we looked in the manger and we found out what God really meant when He said, my holy arm. He really meant arms. Flesh, bone and blood arms, just like ours. The Word became flesh. When Isaiah said to proclaim Yeshua, to proclaim salvation, God was not speaking about theological abstractions. He was not speaking in figures of speech. He meant a person, a Savior. Behold now His right hand and His holy arm, swaddled, stiff against His body as He lay there in that manger, ready one day to stretch forth and to work salvation for His people. The Lord will lay bare His holy arm to be pierced before the eyes of the nations and even before those Roman soldiers who stretched out those arms and drove the nails. His bare, holy arm has worked salvation for us. On that first Christmas. Did those who saw the Christ child and held them in their arms, did they see God's holy arm stretching forth for them? Job said, "Have you an arm like God? And can you thunder with a voice like His? And now behold in the manger that baby's tiny flailing arms and that infant voice that will one day thunder in the Garden of Gethsemane. I told you I am He. If it is you, me you seek, let these men go." And so the innocent one permitted his holy arms to be bound, even as he saved his guilty friends. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. He put his holy arm between you and the punishment that you deserved because of sin. And if that is not worth a gasp of joy, I don't know what is. It surely had Simeon gasping for joy, didn't it, in our gospel reading today? He held Yeshua. He held salvation in his arms, and he said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared before the face of all peoples." And for us, the joy is just as great, even though it's 2,000 years later, because God's salvation is no less available to us than it was for those who actually saw Jesus in the manger or held him in their arms. And the highest way that God has chosen to be closest to you, that you may see his salvation, is in the feast. On Christmas Eve, in the late service, I proclaimed to you the sign of the swaddling cloths. And although I mentioned the sign of the manger, I now proclaim it to you as well. At Christmas time, we see God's Yeshua. We see God's salvation, His Word made flesh, His arm getting ready to extend and work salvation for us. We see His Yeshua in a manger, in a feed box. Now, why did God not give us His Yeshua on a satin royal pillow, that we might know to obey Him as our Lord? Why not a treasure chest, that we might know His worth for our lives? And why not a synagogue, that we might come to respect Him as our teacher and our guide? Yes, He is all of those things to us. He is the Lord to whom we give our obedience. He is our priceless treasure. He is our teacher. But first and foremost, He was given to us and shown to us in a feed box, the meaning of which probably didn't sink into a lot of people's minds until later on they reflected on a sermon that Jesus once preached. And He said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And so Jesus gave Himself in a feed box as heavenly food to feed you the bread of eternal life. He came first and foremost to nourish you, to save you, to salvage the ruins of your life, and to redeem you with an outstretched arm. So keep on celebrating Christmas with high delight and with gasps of joy. Break out into songs of joy together, you ruins, for the Lord has redeemed His people. He has redeemed you. And one other thing. The food that we shared together on Christmas morning from this table here, the Christ Mass, that was God doing what He loves to do most of all, feeding His people the bread of life from the manger of bread and wine in which Jesus Christ is now cradled for us. I'm sorry if you missed that meal, if you missed the Christ Mass this year, but God will serve it up again in the divine service next Sunday. If you missed it on Christmas Day, don't miss it again. It is Christmas. It is the Christ Mass. It's the very heart of our celebration. It is where you can see and take into your hand and taste Yeshua, the salvation of our God. It is the meal that beckons you home. And it's the greatest Christmas joy of all. Joy to you as you continue your celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has stretched forth His arm for you to work salvation for all of us. In His holy, precious name, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.